Let us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. So a slightly longer verse than the past two verses that we've been looking at. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. So like the two previous verses that we have considered, these are things that we are called to do at all times. Pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore in everything, give thanks. What does it mean to give thanks? And clearly we know that the thanksgiving is to God. That is the thrust of all these verses, right? Rejoice in the Lord. Pray to who? To pray to the Lord, to pray to God without ceasing. And then now is to give thanks to God. That in the midst of the prayers that we are making, without ceasing, what are we doing? What are we constantly called to do in everything that happens in our lives? It is to give thanks. Now, I dare say that this is something, well, I think quite common that we hear all around us. We hear that even, you know, on the media, you know, famous personalities, especially in the more Western culture that we're in, where yes, historically there has been an understanding of Christianity, or there has been some measure of allegiance to God. And perhaps you hear that more in American media, but to an extent in the midst of us also, that we do say, thank God, thank God. You do hear it from time to time when they interview, you know, famous personalities, you know, sports personalities, and after they win a game, they'll say, oh, I thank God. Thank God for granting us this victory. Or thank God that this has happened. Thank God that has happened. Sometimes you hear their interviews when things happen. Thank God is a word that does actually roll quite easily, I dare say, off our lips. And of course, in you know, our Christian vocabulary as well, right? In our regard, you know, one for another, as we share about our lives, as we talk about things that happen in the course of the week, we will say that. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing that constantly we are mindful of the fact that everything that happens, well, it is in the hands of God, and therefore it is to God that we will give thanks. This idea of gratitude, right, this expression of thanks, I think is something that we have tried to inculcate in our children from young. It is something that I trust, you know, has been taught to us from young as well. That when something is given to us, or when something helpful or nice is done for us, well, it ought to be an instinctive thing that we will say a word of thanks. Thank you. And you train little children from young, right? You give them something, it says, what must you say? Thank you. Okay, good. There you go. Right? And so we want that. Today is Mother's Day. And as much as your children have tried to keep it as a surprise, I'm sure you know they've been preparing cards and gifts, right, at Sunday school, in school, and they have all these letters that they have now written, right? They may have given some to you this morning or yesterday, or maybe they'll forget and it's still in their school bag and they'll pass it to you in a few days' time, but it will be all these words of thanks, right? Thank you for being my mommy, thank you for, and then they'll have some lists of things maybe that they're thankful for. And it's a good thing, right? We want to teach our children the necessity or the importance of thanksgiving. But you see, the verse is far more than just thank God when good things happen to me, right? Because it's easy to understand that if someone does something nice to me, I say a word of thanks. That is something that's been drilled to us from young. But more than that, what this verse is here saying is that you give thanks to God in everything. In everything. Because at the root of a thanksgiving, a root of a word of thanks, it is an acknowledgement. An acknowledgement of the fact that this individual has done something for my benefit and for my good. You think about the idea of thanksgiving, that's what it is, right? Now you think about how God relates to us. You think about everything that God has done for us from eternity past all through the course of our lives, and all the way into the future. Has any single thing that God done to us been a bad thing? Been something negative? Or can we ever classify or categorize anything that God has ever done for us, or any done in general, as something that is not for our good? I'm pretty sure we know the answer. That everything that God has done, it is all unto good. And therefore, what this verse is trying to show us, or trying to teach us, is to help us to understand the nature of God's relationship to us. And it is in line with what we've been talking about, right? Rejoice evermore. Why? Because God is always good. Pray without ceasing. Why? Because this good God wants to hear our prayers. Good God wants to have a relationship and a communion with us. And therefore, as this child of God who understands that God is good, that God desires his communion with us, what ought to be constantly on our lips, the frame of mind in which we approach God, the thoughts of our hearts, is thanksgiving. Right? Because God, in all his dealings with us, is always good. Think about that. Everything, without exception, must always be regarded in our hearts as good. And therefore, Paul says, in everything, give thanks. And that, in a nutshell, really is what this verse is about. It's not just about paying lip service to God, that occasion when nice things happen. Oh, yeah, thank God, thank God. Oh, it's been a good day. Thank God for that. Oh, I got a promotion. Thank God. This sort of dangerous thing happened, but nothing, no major accident came out of it. Oh, thank God, thank God. I mean, yes, true. These things are things worth thanking God for. But we must expand the scope of this thanksgiving, where the Bible says it is in everything that give thanks. And so the first question we want to answer today, when do we give thanks? The answer is clear. Not just when good things happen. It is that in all circumstances, no matter what happens, we must be able to understand the hand of God working. That it is something thankworthy. It is something that we must give thanks for. And so, yes, when positive things, so-called, right? And I, say that with the air quotes, because actually everything that happens is a good thing. There is no such thing as a bad thing that God does to us. Yes, it may feel or appear bad from the human perspective, right? So how can you say an accident is good? How can you say the death of a loved one is good, right? Now, how can you say, right, that this sort of pain and suffering is good? Yes, in a sense, not in human terms. Well, if we see the direct result of what, this accident has caused, yeah, it's sad, right? It's true. But yet, what we must also understand is that the plan of God, the decrees of God, the will of God, is far beyond just the now. He sees the big picture. He knows the end from the beginning, the start. He knows all things. And you see, the will of God, the decrees of God, it's like this intricate tapestry, this elaborate plan that he alone knows how everything fits perfectly all together. And while, individual events in our lives may seem like it's a bad thing, like it's something that we struggle with and we cannot understand why God will cause that to happen to me, why God will allow such a thing, something so painful, something so hurtful. And it is in those very moments that we must then submit to the sovereignty of God, to the goodness and the providence of God, and acknowledge and admit that I don't know why. Yes, it's not something that I want, not something that I expect. It may even be described as a crisis, something that, is painful. But yet I can still give thanks to God. Can we find that in ourselves to do? And yes, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. Because sometimes the journeys of life may bring us through very painful experiences, periods of great struggle. And these are real struggles. It's not just my sinful, covetous self where, you know, there are certain things that I want and I don't get, and then like a petulant child, I'm throwing a tantrum. The death of a loved one. And an unfortunate turn or twist that we never expected. The death of a child. Can we still say, yes, I thank God for allowing this to happen? It's difficult. It's tough. I know, I understand. But remember the words of Job. Remember what Job went through? Job experienced that, right? In a single day, what happened to him? He lost everything, not just his possessions and his wealth. He lost his 10 children, children whom he loved dearly, children whom he prayed every day for. He made offerings and sacrifices on their behalf. And then the news came to him, one after another, just a torrent of bad news. Freak weather storm has happened. The house in which your children were in collapsed. Not one of them survived. Thieves have come. They have robbed you. Your cattle, your livestock, all gone. Everything stripped away from him. What did he say? In Job chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He gave thanks, isn't it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, the Lord has given, the Lord has given away, taken away. Now, he didn't understand why these things were happening. And if you read the rest of the book of Job, it was a struggle. He struggled greatly to understand why these things had happened. And at the end of the book, he never really got an answer. Now, we know behind the scenes what was happening. We know that there was this thing being played out in heaven between Satan and God. And there was no particular sin that Job was being punished for, no. In a way, you can say it's not his fault that he had to go through these things. But God saw him as an example of a faithful servant that he presented to Satan and says, "Has thou considered my servant Job? One who fears God and eschew evil." And then he says, "Yes, you are allowed to do what you want on him. Just don't take his life." And it was a struggle. It was a struggle. Because, you know, together with his friends made all these accusations, and he was forced to examine every aspect of his life. And he says, "I don't know why." And sometimes, yes, we don't know why. But yet Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. God has given, God has taken away. It is entirely up to the sovereignty of God." And of course, there are things that we want in this life. There are things which we say, "Well, this is how I want my life to be. And don't take away these things from me, God." But somehow, sometimes in the will of God, in his perfect and wise decrees, he allows these sort of things to happen. Now, what this verse then instructs us to do is that, like Job, we must be able to, in everything, in all things that happen, give thanks. Give thanks. If you were to lose your job tomorrow, go to the office, the boss calls you up, says, "I'm sorry, we have to let you go. It's nothing to do with you. The company's not been performing well. We have all these budget restraints, and in the midst of our restructuring, I'm sorry, you're now made redundant." Or any variation of that. Your pays get cut, your hours extended, all whatever struggles can happen, right? And the economy has not been doing well in the past few years. The news, the media is all over, you know, talking about inflation and rent rises and cost of living prices, all these things. And yes, we experience that. But every new headline that we see and every new problem that comes, you know, sort of compounds the struggles that you are facing, can you still say, in everything, give thanks. Because this is what the Bible is calling us to do. And a lot of times we ask, why? Why, God? That is our question, isn't it? Why? Why do you allow these things to happen? And sometimes it all happens at once. It's not just one thing. It's numerous things. And you struggle. And you struggle and you're filled with that worry. You're filled with that concern. But then the Bible says, remember what we talked about last week, pray without ceasing, draw nigh to God. And in the midst of that prayer, it's not just calling upon God, help me, do this for me, do that for me. No, it is give thanks. That's the contents of our prayers. Of course, yes, we also make supplication, we make intercession, we call upon God to help us, but also in the midst of that, we acknowledge the fact that God is still good. God is still good. This is not the only passage. There are numerous passages that calls upon us to do that. For example, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In everything give thanks. And he says, giving thanks always for all things. And now it cannot be more comprehensive than that. The way it is expressed there, right? That always, at all times, giving thanks for everything, for all things that happen. That is the extent of our thanksgiving. That is when we will give thanks. But perhaps then it leads us to the next question to ask, why? Why is it so important that we must always give thanks? Well, the next line explains, isn't it? This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Simply put, this is what God wants. Again, you ask, why? Is God so narcissistic? So full of himself that he always wants to receive praise and thanks for everything that he has done for us? Well, of course, no. Right? God is perfect. He's righteous. We must never think of God as an egotistical God or a narcissistic God. That you think of it in the other perspective, right? Are we so unthankful that we don't want to give thanks? Why would we not? That should rather be the question that we are asking. Because when God gives us instructions like this, we know it is not for himself. It's not that he needs our thanksgiving. He doesn't need our praise. God is all-sufficient and perfect in his glory. Nothing that we ever do can either add to his glory or subtract from his glory. God does not need our thanks. Right? If for the rest of his life, for the rest of our lives, and the rest of all of believers' lives throughout the world, not a single word of thanks is uttered to God, God is still God. God will not be sad. God will not think, oh, no, my people don't care about me. And then, no, God is not given to these sort of, you can say, petulant or petty desires. But God gives us this instruction for our sakes, for our benefit. Because at the end of the day, again, he does it out of goodness, because that is his very nature, and he will never do anything that is against his goodness or against his love. But instead, when he gives us such an instruction, and he says, this is the will of God, it is so that we as his children can learn. In the same way, of course, not completely, we are not perfect like God, but in a similar way, in that we try to teach our children this simple idea of gratitude, right? We want to instill and inculcate these ideas into our children. And it's not that we really need to hear that word of thanks. We will still continue to teach them, we will still continue to provide for them and care for them as a parent, right? That if your children, to mothers, if your children do not give you any Mother's Day card, never, no presents, no little stick with a little Ferrero Rocher on the top of it. Even if none of these things happen, right? Will you still continue to be their mother tomorrow? No. No Mother's Day card. Too bad. Tomorrow, no lunchbox. Of course not, right? He will still mother them. You will still care for them because that is you. That is your nature. You are the mother and this is the child. You don't need to hear their things. But it is important to teach them. To show this thanks and show this gratitude also, right? To understand that everything that they have received are not to be taken for granted. And you don't want to, them to grow up as these entitled children, thinking that, oh, everybody must always serve me, and I deserve your mothering and your fathering and all these things being provided for us. No, we want to teach them. And in that way, God wants to teach us also to realize that everything that we have received in this life is good. It grants us this perspective, isn't it? That everything that we receive at the hand of God is always good because he does it out of the nature of the fact that he is a good God. And it grants us that confidence to know that he is the sovereign God in charge of all things. And that in everything we must give thanks. We must constantly acknowledge the fact that God is good to us. And we learn that. We learn to give thanks. And therefore God says, now this is your duty. That in everything you remember to acknowledge God. For he indeed is a good God. He's worthy of our praise and adoration. I mean, after all, you think about all that God has done for you. He has saved you. He has granted you salvation, so rich and free. And dare we ask for more? In a sense, we are already so richly and abundantly blessed. And just salvation alone, even if God does not do anything for us for the rest of our lives, salvation alone is enough for us to thank God for the rest of our lives. Think about that. Salvation alone. The magnitude of what has been granted to us so freely ought to enable us to have enough to thank God for the rest of our lives. But it's not just salvation, isn't it? It is that personal care and guidance for the rest of our lives here on earth. It is eternity that awaits us. Everything, all the benefits, the rich benefits that we receive out of the hand of God. And so daily, you know, as we approach God, praise should be on our lips. We should be continually thanking God and praising him for everything that has been done for us. And so like the psalm that we had read just now, right? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. It's not just found in that psalm, right? Psalm 136, right? So many other psalms as well. Psalm 106, 107, and in so many times, you know, this exact line, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endureth forever, is repeated again and again and again. It is something that psalmists continually said. The mercy of God, it endures. There is indeed so much goodness and grace that God has showered upon us. And if we think back on all that God has done for us, so easily, so quickly, ought we to then turn to God and say, yes, thank you. Thank you. And that is the offering that we give to God daily. Right? That's how Hebrews explains it. Right? Hebrews 13, verse 15, he says, by him, therefore, by Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And what is that? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And so interestingly, the Bible depicts or explains the giving of thanks as like an offering that we give to him. So, you know, and yes, in the Old Testament, they had specifically something known as the thank offering, right? An offering specifically used to express thanksgiving. Now, we don't have to bring an animal to God any longer. The Bible says we can just directly go to him and give thanks. It's much easier, isn't it? Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Why don't we constantly and continually do it, that we have been granted this privilege that we can just come to God and utter these words and say, thank you, God. Give thanks. And so he says by him, let us do this offer of sacrifice to God continually. That is what? The fruit of our lips giving praise to his name. And so what can we thank God for? So many things, isn't it? Salvation, his continual provision in our lives, his faithfulness, his goodness, the mercies that are new every morning. Let us continue to keep on giving thanks. But then also remembering that there are times, yes, which hardship happens, trials come, and can we still give thanks? And the Bible says yes. To count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. To thank God for even chastisements. Chastisements. When God punishes us. What is he doing? He's doing it in love, right? As a father who loves a child, that God will chastise whom he loves. That's what Hebrews 12 tells us. And he says, yes, no chastening for the present seems joyous. It's not easy to go through chastening. Sometimes it is necessary. But then he says, yes, it is grievous, but nonetheless, afterward, nevertheless, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And in that, again, our response must be, thank you. You may not experience it in the present, you may not feel that, but it is something that we come to realize, isn't it? You know, I'm sure that in growing up, there has been times in which you have been disciplined, right? You've been caned, or you've been scolded, or you have some restrictions limited at the point of time. I'm sure you did not enjoy going through it at that point of time. I'm sure I didn't. Remembering the times in which I was punished. It was difficult to go through. But, you know, sometimes it's only years and years later, right? As you mature, you grow up, you become an adult, and you look back, and then you look at the person that you are today. And you know that, yes, a lot of it comes as a result of discipline that you receive, you know, as a child. Because that discipline is what withheld us from committing greater, you know, terrible things or more sins. And while it was not comfortable to go through that at that point of time, or years later, then you look back and say, well, thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad. Maybe, you know, I mean, I'm very sure that if I was not disciplined as much as I was as a child, I've gone on to other terrible things. But it was, well, you know, the love of our parents that, you know, withheld us from these things. And sometimes God will chastise us. God will discipline us. And it's not easy or nice to go through that. But what we must also realize that it is by his love, through his goodness, that he causes us to go through these things. And it's for our benefit, withholding us from further evil or further sins that we are so, you know, easily fall prey to. And so we say, thank God. We must give thanks. We must give thanks for even trials that come our way, punishments, chastisements. Why? Because in all these things, what we see is the hand of God working in our lives. But sadly, so often we don't, isn't it? Which brings us to our next thought. Why? Why don't we give thanks? Well, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, and we have just thought about why we should. But the reality of it is oftentimes we don't. Oftentimes we don't. Why? Well, for one, I think simply we are ungrateful people, right? That's a sad reality of things. We are ungrateful people. We do not have our eyes, our spiritual eyes open to all that God continually and constantly does for us. We forget, or we take for granted. But you know that unthankfulness is actually listed as one of the sins that will be so prevalent in the last days. In that list, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And what will happen then? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men will be egotistical. Men will be very self-centered. Men will only care about themselves. And this is, you know, not just men in terms of males, but people in general. What will they become? They will become covetous. They will become boasters and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And is that not what we see in the world around us today? People very entitled, very self-centered. And part of it is that we are very ungrateful people, unthankful. We just expect things to happen for us. And when things happen, we just shrug and say, yeah, okay, that's the least. There's a minimum that's required. We carry that attitude to God. And we are almost demanding of God, right? We say, yeah, pray without ceasing. But what are you actually really doing? You are demanding without ceasing. And we think that's our prayers. But every time we come to God, it is simply, do this for me, do that for me. Or it's a complaint or a lament. Why did you allow that to happen? Why did you call this to happen? God, you're not a good God. I mean, we may not see it outright, but that's actually what we're implying. When we are just constantly demanding of God, expecting of God, but not saying a word of thanks. We are unthankful people. We're discontented people, right? We are constantly bitter or upset. We think that, there should be more that I deserve, more that I want. And we are never thankful. We're never content. We never think that it is enough. That's a sad reality of things. Is this descriptive of your relationship with God? Yes, it's easy to give thanks when everything is happening well and smooth and everything is going your way. But then the moment life's trials and things don't pan out the way that we want it to pan out, what do? Very quickly, straight away, we're like the children of Israel in the wilderness, right? Or what happens again and again, they murmured and complained. We become very bitter, we become discontent, we start to murmur, and we may even blame God. Is that the heart that we have before God? But what does that show? It shows our selfishness, isn't it? It shows that sense of entitlement, demanding that God must give, and not being able to see the big picture of how God so lovingly deals with us, each and every one of us. That God will always deal with us out of the goodness and the love that He has promised. But because of our lack of faith, because of our thankfulness and our sense of discontentment, we fail to see that, we fail to recognize that. Right? And the contents of our prayers are often complaining, or demanding, requiring, not praise and thanksgiving. We need to change that. We need to change that, right? We need to always constantly remember that, you know, God is a God who has answered so many of our prayers. You know, we're always quick to ask, but when our prayers are answered, we don't realize it, we don't think, or we don't see it, and we fail to give thanks also for the many, many times in which actually God has answered our prayers. So give thanks. Which then leads us to the final thought that we want to think of this morning. How then can we give thanks more? How can we inculcate in ourselves this spirit of thanksgiving? I think at the very heart of it, what we must do is to understand God or know God better. You know, all this while I've been talking about the fact that God is a good God, right? And coupled along with that are all the attributes of God that we must be very mindful of His wisdom, of His love, of His sovereignty, right? That God is this eternal and unchangeable God. You know, God is a God of love. Now, I mean, this is the topic, or this is a theme that we have sought to meditate upon this year. Right, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That you must understand the attributes of God, and He will always consistently act in that way. He's a God of truth, He's a God of love, He's a God of kindness and patience and all these things. And so if we have that in mind and see everything that happens in light of that, that, you know, God in His dealings with us are never unkind or malicious. He's never, you know, allowing us to fall, you know, into all these difficulties and trials because He's a vindictive God, because He takes delight in our suffering. Not at all. We must always understand and realize, as hard as it is to see, that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And that has to happen at the very root of the ability to give thanks, to recognize God's providence. And I mentioned this a number of times. We've been looking at the life of Joseph, right, at SBS. And, you know, one of the amazing statements that he makes towards the end of his life, after everything had been said and done, right, all the terrible things that he had to go through, you know, being sold as a slave by his very own brothers, being left for dead, having to, you know, serve as a servant in a foreign land for years, and then being accused of a crime he never committed, being left in jail. He turns to his brothers and says, yes, you thought evil against me, right? He's not saying that what they did was good, it was bad. But in the midst of the sufferings that he had to endure, he recognized the fact that God meant it unto good. God meant it unto good, right? And I think that is the understanding of providence that we have to have in our lives as well. That while people may do wicked things against us, and yes, that happens. People take advantage of us, people bully us, right? You know, all sorts of things can happen in your life. And it's painful to go through. Yes, we wish it never happened. Like Joseph wished he was never sold as a slave, never thrown into prison, never have to experience all these difficult things. But he recognized the fact that God had a hand in all of it. And you know, as we are studying through Genesis together, you know, we are uncovering so many of these little things here and there. It's not just a big picture, but in every single little thing that happens, we see the hand of God working. And it is a wonderful, wonderful study. That God means it unto good. But what we have to have also is the spiritual eyes to recognize the fact that that same thing is happening in all of our lives. Every little twist and turn, every good thing, every difficulty, everything, God has a purpose for that. And that is assurance that we must have as a believer, right? That all things work together for good. In good in what sense? Of course, good from God's perspective. May not always feel like it's a good thing to happen, but God, in his perfect wisdom, in his eternal wise decrees, will always mean it unto good. That is the confidence that we have. And that is the only way in which we then can turn to God and say, yes, God has given, God has taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That God ultimately never sees us to be good. And we must constantly acknowledge that. But perhaps in a more practical way, right? Yes, we have the doctrine and the understanding of God and his goodness and his sovereignty and his providence. But then in a more practical way, well, simply put, we count our blessings, right? We think and always be very mindful of all that God has done for us. And that's what the song goes, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Because if we don't think actively, it's easy to just fall into the spirit of complaining and of murmuring and all that. But if we are mindful of all the blessings that we have received, as I mentioned earlier, salvation itself, and everything on top of that, all that constant guidance and support that God gives us in his life, if we count our blessings, actually there are so many things that we ought to be thankful for that we are not. There are so many things that we can thank God for, so many things that we must acknowledge God and all that he has done. Every single day, we must give thanks. I'd like to end with this verse in Colossians chapter 3. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and verse 17. And again, a call to thanksgiving, but a few thoughts that we see here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Now he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." What I was speaking of is really to live constantly being so mindful of God and his presence working in your lives. I realize, understanding the peace of God, and that peace that you have received because of salvation, whereby you are reconciled to God, you are at peace with him. Let that peace rule in your hearts to be the guiding principle in your life. Realizing that it, through that grace, he has called you into one body, the body of Christ, and be thankful to God. And as we are now in the spirit of thankfulness, what we have, the word of God, richly in our hearts. That if we saturate our thoughts and our minds with God's word, and as we learn every day through his word about his goodness and his wisdom, surely thanksgiving ought to result. Now, if we fill our heads and our hearts with mind with the things of this world, yes, of course, we will lean towards the things of the world and we will be like the world in our covetousness, our greed, our discontent, our unthankfulness. But as we have the word of Christ dwelling in our heart richly unto all wisdom, it will enable us to be thankful. Think of the psalms, the hymns, the spiritual songs, the hymns that we have mentioned, the psalms written in the Bible, and so many of the psalms are psalms of praise, of thanksgiving. And as you imbibe the spirit of the psalmists as they praise the Lord, well, that is something that we can do well as well, to meditate upon, right? And all the psalms that I mentioned, the psalm that we had read just now, Psalm 136, and so many other psalms as well, it teaches us to be thankful. It teaches us to recognize and acknowledge the hand of God. And yes, there are psalms of lament as well. There are psalms where, you know, David pours out his heart unto God. And yes, it almost seems like a complaint at times, where he shares the genuine struggles that he is going through, but it always ends with praise. You realize that about the psalms? Yes, he's lamenting. Yes, there are struggles he's going through, but in the midst of that, he realizes or recognizes God. And his heart turns to God, and then he realizes that he can have peace. He realizes that there is help in the midst of his struggle. That's a psalm. And so he says, fill your heart with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Fill your heart with all these thoughts of God, singing with praise in your hearts unto the God, and carry the attitude in everything that you do, and giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And that is how the Bible says, that's how we can be thankful. That is how we can in everything give thanks, remembering that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. And help us always to be thankful. Help us always to remember everything that thou hast done for us, to count our blessings, and to recognize that you are indeed a good God, a sovereign God, a loving God. And help us to have the spirit of thanksgiving, to always constantly be in a mood of praise in all our prayers, in all the constant prayers that we make to thee. So once again, we thank thee. Thank thee for this morning. Thank thee for thy word. And we commit the rest of this blessed Lord's day ahead into thy loving hands. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.